If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com.
Tuning in to watch this program today, and I'm so glad that you took the time out of your day to hear a very important message from Richard Bennett of the Berean Beacon, a former Roman Catholic priest and now minister of the gospel. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Good to be here with you, Greg.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again.
Yes, praise God, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a joy to be with you, and I look forward to giving an update on my testimony.
Yeah.
Because things have changed since I first wrote it.
Been having some big changes too in your life over these last few months too, Richard. It's good to see you.
Yes, my health has been deteriorating, but by God's grace, I'm in Christ Jesus, and I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded He is able. Yeah. And I look forward to going home to glory the day when the Lord calls me home. I look forward to it.
Yeah, but you've really improved. I'm so happy about that, Richard.
I have, and I'm happy. Yeah. And I'm happy to share from my heart today with you, the listener. And I really ask that you listen, because I have some important things to say that I did not say in my previous testimony, as it was written and in the video that I made previously.
Well, Richard, could you tell me, our viewers a little bit about your family's history, a little bit, your background?
Yes, in my previous testimony, I gave an account that I came from a family with many children. There were four sisters older than me and one sister younger than me, and myself and my two brothers, so it was a large family. Since then, some of my sisters have died. Actually, four of my sisters have died. And I'm happy to say that things really changed with my two elder sisters, Maura and Joan. While they were still alive, I had a lot of conversations back and forth from where I live now in the United States to Ireland with my sister Maura, and she saw that salvation was all by God's grace. It was no sacrament, it was no church, it was no ritual, it was the grace of God alone. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that.
That's encouraging to hear that, because I know they've been on your heart so much.
It was, and I was so encouraged that she came really to know the Lord. And she saw that, as I had explained from my own testimony, that in the words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, being dead in trespass and sins, that we were dead, and the faith itself was a gift of God and grace. And I was so happy to see her more and more assured that she really knew the Lord, and that was a great joy to me. Mm-hmm. My other sister, Joan, and she and myself talked a lot. She was going more blind towards the end of her life, but we talked a lot on the phone, and she equally more and more heard the gospel message, as I explained it by the word. Of course, it was the spirit quickening, so that she was trusting on Christ alone.
Yeah.
And I feel assured that both of them were there in glory, and that's such a joy to me. And I thank the Lord. I'm still in prayer for my other very younger sister, who still lives in Australia, and that her and her husband would come to know the Lord equally. And that's my prayer, and I trust that the Lord would answer that prayer. And equally, my brother Frank. My brother Frank has given up for a long time because of the horrific scandals. And in Ireland, particularly, the scandals called the Murphy Report, whereby the immorality of the priests, the horrific immorality of the priests, and even the nuns in Ireland was exposed. He gave up when we saw how horrible was the morality of the Catholic Church, but still culturally Catholic. And, and when you know, when his daughter was married in fairly recently, about 10 months ago, it had to be in a Catholic church. And of course it was a Catholic priest. It was actually a man who hadn't been close to, it was a Dominican priest who performed the wedding. So culturally still Catholic, and my prayer is that the Lord would wake him up. Maybe Frank, in viewing this video, you may get to, may the Lord quicken your heart, that like Maura and Joan, you would come to know the Lord. Well, the Lord's best. So things have really changed regarding my family. Thank you for asking that question.
That's a nice update about the salvation of your sisters. And I know that's been a prayer of yours for all these years.
It has been.
So coming from such, you know, a very devout Roman Catholic family, you began your search very young in life, and you're trying to earn your way to heaven. Is that one of the...
Yes, and particularly when I was 17 and 18, I was used to study. We didn't study the Bible, neither in our studies or, you know, or in our private devotions. It was more we read the documents of the Pope. And I read the document of Pope Pius XII, and I memorized it, and I still know it to this day. He said, word for word, "Great mystery this, and source of unending contemplation, the salvation of souls should depend on the prayers and sufferings of the members of the mystical body of Christ offered for this intention." That's word for word. If you check online, you'll find the document, and that's word for word.
That so, salvation. So you took that seriously.
I took it seriously. I lived it.
Yeah.
That I had my eye on some gals at the tennis club where I was a great player of tennis. I'd actually been in some tennis tournaments and everything. But I was thinking of marrying, and man, was I looking at one gal in particular. And then I said, no, I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to give up marriage. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to remain celibate. I'm going to go into the priesthood. And so that for the salvation of souls. So that souls may be saved, you know, in the Catholic terms, that they at least go to purgatory, and then after purgatory, then go to heaven. But it was, that was the desire of my heart. And so I went and became a Dominican priest. We studied for 8 years. But while we were in training for the priesthood, I really did things for penance. Now, Ireland is really cold. It's as far north as Moscow, actually, and in the winters it gets desperately cold. And in the desperate cold winters, I would have a shower with cold water. And it was one of the most painful things I ever did. I'd stand in the shower for maybe 5 or 10 minutes to feel pain as it were in my bones. It was one of the more painful things I ever did.
And you were doing this to suffer, thinking this was...
Many souls go to saved by prayer, by suffering and by prayer. And here am I praying that souls will be saved. And it was, I did it, I couldn't endure anymore. And then with the master of students, because we had somebody, we had to do serious things, not on our own, I asked him for a little steel whip. And I, because I had read some of the Catholic saints had, in doing sacrifices, had whipped them their back. And sometimes even to blood. And I would whip my back with a little steel chain. And I never did it to blood, but I did it, it was unbearable. And it was, that was my trying to win souls, the souls would be saved.
So through self-inflicted
pain. And of course, I didn't have any idea the scriptures. It was completely overruled, such stupidity. Not by the works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace He saved us, like it says in Scripture. It's all of grace, and not of rituals, not of sacraments. It's God's choice, you know. It's chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4.
Right.
It's not our choice. It's not true sacrament. It's God's choice, and things really, really changed in that regard. Mm-hmm. Then I saw things afterwards that it's an abomination before God. Mm. All that idea.
When were you seeing this happen? When was that being revealed to you?
This was in the 50s, first of all, mm-hmm. and in the 60s, coming up to the early 60s.
Okay.
And then at the same time, the Catholics were boasting about the apparitions of Mary at Fatima.
Yeah.
And many souls go to hell because there's nobody to pray or do penance for them. That was supposed to be Mary appearing at Fatima.
Yeah.
And of course, it wasn't anything like Mary. Only a demon would say things like that. Many souls go to hell because there's nobody to pray or do penance. That's
right.
It's very similar to what the Pope said. Mm-hmm. Mary is supposed to have said.
Yeah.
No, the demon in hell would say such a thing.
Right. The queen of heaven, according to Scripture.
Yeah. So this is a huge revelation when finally, you know, I was to come later on, as I'll explain, to see the true salvation. Mm-hmm. So that was me way back then.
Yeah. And so then, as you progressed through your ordination, and what was transpiring during your time of study before you became a priest?
Well, in my time of study, I did academics. I did very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was as smart as some of them, but man, did I work hard. Mm-hmm. I had qualifications. So that academically, not everybody of the group, or not all priests, were sent to Rome to study in Rome itself.
Right.
So after I was ordained in 1963, mm-hmm. I was sent to Rome.
So because of your academic standing.
Because of I was supposed to do two major degrees.
Mm-hmm. So were they grooming you to be a professor?
They were grooming me to be a professor, mm-hmm. and I was to do two major degrees. And
mm-hmm.
I went to Rome, and in the coming up to 63, coming into 64, that academic year,
mm-hmm.
and I was horrified by Rome,
mm-hmm.
because Rome, all the pomp and the glory, when the Pope comes out in St. Peter's Square, it's filled with thousands and thousands of people flocking to hear the words of the Pope.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's from his balcony, you know, spouting out all his doctrine and what people are to do. And it's all pomp and glory. And of course, they all wear gowns, like we wore the Dominican white gown, mm-hmm. with a black cap over it. And all dressed up.
This kind of gives a show of being holy by your garments.
Yes, you're not wearing a suit and a tie. You're wearing these holy clothes, you know. And it was so empty.
Mm.
It was so empty. When I saw the Italians, how they lived, mm-hmm. you know, I saw. A assembling of what went on in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
In the parks we had the prostitutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the amount of people out with the prostitutes.
And this is in the holy city.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then the way some of the priests lived.
Mm-hmm.
The immorality of the priests.
Now, you mentioned before that there was quite a lot of homosexuality amongst the priests.
Well, I didn't realize at the time, because homosexuality wasn't spoken about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back at it later, from what those priests said, those 300, over 300 priests studying for degrees and all like myself.
Right.
And of course the classes were all in Latin, mm-hmm. and we were all fairly fluent, even though the Spanish and the Italians could speak like machine guns. We were from Ireland and England, Latin didn't come as naturally to us. Mm-hmm. But when I look upon and see how those priests spoke, mm-hmm. and I realize that these men are not seeking, like I am, to be holy and to win souls. Yeah. They're looking for careers, mm-hmm. and they are not living a moral life.
Right.
From what I could sense, mm-hmm. I didn't see any acts of immorality, mm-hmm. but you know, you sense in your spirit. And mm-hmm. I was horrified, and I was so horrified that I asked for a vacation to get away from the, and I went to Fiesole, which was an amazing part of Italy, mm-hmm. away from France, away from Rome, and it was trying to recuperate. And then when I was away for those, it was about 10 days, I came back and I decided that I'm not going to do these degrees, mm-hmm. because I can't continue in this system. It's too hard. I've got to go back to Ireland where mm-hmm. people really live Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'd go by Lourdes to do some penance at Lourdes,
yeah.
to purify myself. I was going to suffer more for souls in Lourdes. And so I told the professor who was doing my degree, I said, I can't do the degree. Hmm. And he said, well, I'll help you to finish it. And I said, I'm not going to do it. Hmm. Well, he said, I have from about 10 years ago a degree, a thesis that somebody else wrote. I just changed the beginning of it.
So he was wanting to give you someone else's
work.
Yeah.
And I said, I have seen the prostitutes in the parks, mm-hmm. parading their goods. And I said, what you're suggesting to me is worse immorality than what they do. Mm. I said, how dare you, as supposed to be a man of God. And he was horrified that I addressed him like that. Mm. But I withstood him and said, I'm not going to do it.
So you were seeing the hypocrisy.
I said, I'm going back and I'm going to Lourdes. I'm going to suffer for, be purified by my sufferings at Lourdes, mm. so that I can really live Catholicism and not Catholicism as it's lived here in Rome. Mm. So I finished at the ordinary academic level,
right.
and I went to Lourdes and I did some of the most ghastly penances ever. Mm. You know, people go down into the water at Lourdes mm. to be healed.
Yeah.
And and there's some people who, the water is filthy because there's, mm-hmm. there's people being in with cancer and all sorts of things, and it's all sort of strange things floating around. And I took that up in my hand and I drank it, and it's the grace of God that I didn't get some horrific disease, you know, because mm. it must have been filled with all, every last wicked German thing. And but that was me trying to purify myself so that I could really live Catholicism mm. and really suffer for sinners
yeah.
and go back to Ireland, which I did. Mm-hmm. And I reached back at the end of, coming towards the end of 64. And I studied then to be qualified to hear confessions.
Oh, okay.
So that you can go into a confession box and people can whisper their sins into your ear. So I, confession used to be very popular in those days. In Catholicism, it's not very popular anymore, but it was very popular in those days. And so I went back to Ireland, mm-hmm. and things really, really were different then. And then they got furious with me. The head priest called Father Coffey. And he was furious with me, and all the other priests were going to do an academic degree in Cork, southern city in Ireland, mm-hmm. and I was to be shipped overseas. I was shipped and like punished I'd been sent near the tropics to a little island called Trinidad and the neighboring island Tobago, and I was shipped off.
But it was on that island where your life really changed.
It was on that island, and I thank God, that was the providence of God, mm-hmm. that I was on that island, because it was there that finally I was going to see how Catholicism was lived.
Yeah.
It was for about 9 years I baptized babies. Mm-hmm. Used to be about 30 a month, all black babies, of course, or Negro or Indian, mm-hmm. and now and again you'd have a white child, you know, from some of the Creole, French,
all very devout in their faith.
Oh yeah. And but I was did that and hear confessions. Mm-hmm. I used to sweat in the confession box, not just because of tropics, but when you get in, you get women coming and pouring out their immoralities into your ear.
Mm.
And telling you about the adulteries or fornications, you see how these same people are supposed to come into communion, and I was aghast because of how difficult it was. It's like sitting in a garbage dumpster, you know, people come and dump their garbage. The way only was worse, and I said, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
I things have to change. That was the Lord's grace that things changed. Mm-hmm. And I would never. I was living in, as a priest, in Sangrigante, one of the northern towns at the mm-hmm. time. And I came in to visit people I knew from Port of Spain,
yes.
the main city. And their house is at the top of a hill. And they had two big Alsatian dogs at the foot of the. Where they had to tie up the dogs when you came, and then you walked up 24 steps. So I was good at tennis, and I'd always been fairly athletic. So there's a little, about 3.5 foot fence, so I jumped over the fence to save me, waiting for the dogs to be tied up,
uh-huh.
and I slipped.
Wow.
And I went down those steps, damaging my skull and my back spine. Mm. And I was taken to a hospital. And after about 3 days, I looked like an Arab. I had a turban around my head.
Wow.
Because of the damage I did to the back of my skull, and my back spine was badly damaged too. And it was frightening, and
I remember you saying one time that you had challenged the Lord about something, to teach you something.
Oh yes, I had boasted. The charismatic movement had begun, and one that we used to pray out loud, mm-hmm. which we never did before, and pray in our own words, not Hail Marys,
yeah.
but in our Father's word. And I said, I thank you, God, I'm so humble. And I said, Lord, If you wish to make me even more humble, I give you permission. I mean, talk about giving God permission. Anyway, and it was after that this thing happened.
Mm.
And man, God did humble me. And in my recovery, because I was in the hospital, and then I was about 3.5 months in a sanatorium, mm-hmm. recovering. When I was recovering, I got a Bible into me, mm-hmm. was sent in,
yeah.
and I started studying the Bible. I wondered if I had died, where I would have gone, because I didn't have peace with God.
That's a very serious question to ask
yes.
a Catholic. Very same thing happened to me.
Oh, you're right. How can I be right with God?
Yeah.
And how can I have peace with myself? I don't have any inner peace.
Yeah.
And It took 13 and a half years search. That's a long search, because as I studied the scripture meticulously,
mm-hmm.
I began to see things. Mm-hmm. Now, by God's grace, I landed, as it were, in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
and in the first letter of John,
right.
and John's Gospel. But they were, and I used to read about 20 or 30 times a day Ephesians 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I saw was in Ephesians 1 and 2, where I underlined in the Bible where salvation is, in whom, in Him, accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Mm-hmm. It was 42 times salvation was in Christ. Now, the Catholic Church teaching was that salvation is in the human heart. Mm-hmm. It's like what they call in England a petrol station.
Right.
In the States, they call it a gas station, where you fill up your car with gasoline. Mm-hmm. You know, you fill it up, and you become more and more filled with sanctifying grace. Mm-hmm. And here, salvation is not in the human heart, it's in Christ.
Right.
And that was a huge revelation to me,
right,
that salvation is not in human heart, mm-hmm, or spirit anywhere, it's in Christ. And then I began to study other things. Mm-hmm. And it was
outside of the scripture?
No, it was just in the scriptures.
That's very interesting that you focused your search in the very words of God.
Yeah. And there's some things that really make an impression, or, you know, like Psalm 103, mm-hmm, you know, we give thanks to God for the mighty, for the deeds He has done,
yeah,
you know, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and you know, and heals all thy diseases,
right,
who saveth your life from destruction, and crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw that salvation is of God. Mm. And this doesn't seem to be of any works.
Yeah.
And then I saw, and I memorized in my mind, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, mm-hmm, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. And I would stand up at the priest meetings and I say, maybe it's not just sacraments, mm-hmm, by which, you know, you're baptized and you go to confession, you go to communion, mm-hmm, and you take Holy Communion and you become more and more sanctified. Maybe it's by grace, mm-hmm, the gift of God. And they say, Bennett, who do you think you are? My name was Peter Bennett, and they changed your name, you know, and Peter Bennett, who do you think you are? And I say, well, I'm like Oscar in Sesame Street, the old thing they used to show about Oscar.
Yeah.
I say, you push me down, I'll be back up again. And that went on for a good many years. But in 1979, in those days I had long hair, it just come down over my ears, mm-hmm, and combed back, dark, dark beard coming down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I really looked the part.
Yeah.
And the charismatic movement had come in, and I was able to really preach with guitars and music, and mm-hmm, you know, and I'd throw back my hair and
a lot of theatrics going on.
Yeah, and tell people. And I used to preach against a bit about capitalism, and that we need a free economy.
Right.
We're all
liberation theology.
Yes, I used to preach that and all other things, and but then I, you know, in that way I was sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
But at then, when I got beyond that,
yeah,
which took me a while, and I went into meditation too, with the Maharishi Yogi.
Oh, okay.
I jumped into that for about 9-10 months, nearly a year, and I went sidetracked.
Yeah.
But for those years I was searching, mm-hmm, and finally I came in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I had been in Vancouver, British Columbia,
mm-hmm,
where I was asked to preach at a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
And having preached in a Catholic church in Seattle, I decided I would preach. And I was staying in Assemblies of God home, and the pastor had a Strong's Concordance. Mm-hmm. And I looked up the word for word. What does the Bible say about itself? You know? Mm-hmm. And thy word is true. John 17:17, not to think beyond what is written. I saw that it's the Bible alone is true. And then when I went back to Trinidad, and then we'd have priest conferences and gatherings of the priests together with Archbishop Anthony Panto, and they would say to me, "Well, Ben, who do you think you are?" I say, "Thus says the Lord." Now it wasn't Oscar. He went, "Thus says the Lord."
And you refer to Scripture.
Yeah.
I find that just really encouraging. I hope other Catholic people will hear this message that Richard is talking about. I know as when I was seeking as in a Catholic church, I remember going to the priest and I had questions about the Scripture because I noticed he was changing as he read and I followed along in the Missalette. And after the service, he told me that the Bible was written long ago by men. And he didn't want to make an offense. So that, at that time in my life, I said, "Well, why seek in the Scripture?" And I basically tossed the Scriptures out, and I began to look for apparitions. I did whatever I could to try and find some spiritual meaning or depth into my religion. I wish I would have ran into you in those days to track me back to the Word of God.
Anyway, so. But because it was the Lord's grace that finally saved you.
Yeah.
And I hope that one day, now that you're taking over the beacon, because I've stepped down as the president and director of the ministry, and of course, Mike Stevens, who had been a main director too, and you have your own directors. But I just hope that one day you'd make a video of your own testimony. And it should be very interesting as well. Mm-hmm. So that was how things were back then.
Regarding
salvation. Mm-hmm. And my own salvation. My own salvation actually occurred in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had a little priest's house called a presbytery. It was actually attached to the back wall of the church. And I got on the red carpet one night. And I went over and repeated out loud on the red carpet, kneeling down,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "You've been dead in trespass and sins." Mm. And I said, God in heaven, show me that I am dead in trespass and sins. Now, listener, if you want the reality, ask God to show you, and you don't know the Lord, and you're a Catholic, or some other evangelical who thinks it's man's decision and not God's, ask God to show you,
mm-hmm.
that spiritually we're all, in our natural self, dead. Physically we may be alive, but spiritually we were dead.
Mm-hmm.
And God showed me I was spiritually dead.
Yeah.
And then, instead of being in desperate state, I know that God answers prayers.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "God in heaven, give me both the faith," because it says it's your gift,
yeah.
"and activated by your grace, because I'm spiritually dead."
Mm-hmm.
And God, in the wonder of His grace, did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sensed in my spirit, for the first time, a peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
And a peace flowing into my own heart.
And that's what you began to seek for back in 1972?
Yeah. And now I put my hands in heaven. I said, "God in heaven, Father, Holy Father in heaven, and Jesus Christ, my glorious Savior, I thank you for salvation." I put my hands in heaven. I said, "I thank you that I am now in you, Jesus Christ, saved. And Father in heaven, I thank you that you are my loving Father. And I have peace with you and peace with myself."
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went and cried for about 10 minutes on the carpet. And it was after that my addiction to drink left me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drink to sleep at night, not socially, but to sleep at night, I would take 2 beers and then a large shot of rum. Mm-hmm. We didn't have whiskey in Trinidad. It was more rum because we made rum, and Barbados rum was a favorite of all the rums. And that would knock me out at night to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then after, my addiction to drink was gone. Mm-hmm. And I knew that something has happened. So mm-hmm. it was like, God of grace, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. I am now right with you. I'm right with you. I'm right in my own mind with myself. What do I do? And it was like the Lord was saying to me by the Spirit, well, if I saved you, I'll look after you. I said, I've got to leave this system. I begin to see this is not a church, it's a system. Mm-hmm. And I've got to leave this system. And the Lord was saying, was like saying in the Spirit, well, I'll get you out. Mm-hmm. And I had 2 accounts. I had a bank account for the church and a bank account for the Dominicans. I had 2 bank accounts. But I wasn't going to take money from the church. Mm-hmm. But I had about 800 money, what you call pocket money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That just belonged to me personally, mm-hmm. and not in them. So I decided that I would fly to a neighboring island of Barbados, mm-hmm. which was a pretty British island. Actually, a lot of the people there are black, but they speak like they were British, you know. And interesting island, Barbados, from a tourist point of view. Very popular.
Did you just sneak away, or did you say goodbye to anybody?
I got people to drive me to the airport. Mm-hmm. There were people who were beginning to agree with me, mm-hmm. and beginning to see that salvation. There was one church in Valencia, mm-hmm. where the church had become charismatic, and I had preached grace there, and there was practically 95% of that church afterwards mm-hmm. left Catholicism. And the church changed, but that was a that wasn't in Sangre Grande, that was in what we call the outstations, because I not only had a church, mm-hmm. But I had churches and outstations as a priest in Sangre Grande, the last parish I was in, so it was. Then that the Lord, I got to Barbados, mm-hmm. and a Catholic couple talked to me. I was staying in a family. I had known people in Barbados because I had preached there in Barbados mm-hmm. before as a Catholic priest. And they said to me, where are you going? And I said, well, I hope to go to Canada. I don't have a visa for the United States at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then from Canada, I'll get a visa and come into the States. And they said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I need money. And they said, well, about much money do you need? And I said, about $700 or $800. And they talked with each other for a while. And a lot of the Trinidadians had money mm-hmm. in banks in Miami and other places, whereby they had American money, because Trinidad money mm-hmm. was Trinidad dollar was equal to about a quarter, not a. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really much value, and it was American money, mm-hmm. and they gave me $700, and I booked a ticket to Canada, and then by God's grace I came of all places. I came to the West Coast mm-hmm. because Vancouver on the west, and Canada, and then coming down the west coast of the United States, came to Seattle, and then of all places, I then remember that I had in my telephone directory, I had the telephone number of Jim St. Hilaire, mm-hmm. who in Wapato, outside Yakima, and I phoned him and I said, I have left the Catholic Church and the priesthood, and I have nowhere to go. And he said, come and stay with us for a week. And I went to Bank of God's Grace. I stayed 6 months. And it was there that I really started studying Scripture.
Is there where you met your wife too?
It was later on. It was towards about 4 months into that. I was going to a church on Knob Hill, and everybody would knows Knob Hill, and it was actually a Pentecostal church, but I thought that they were preaching grace, even though they were into signs and wonders as well. And I met this lady, and her name was Mary, and I really went out some days with a friend of hers and had coffee together. And then I said, because St. Hilaire's were having me recycle, my glasses needed to be changed. I hadn't been to a dentist for many years, and they were getting me to a dentist. And the dentist said, I'm going to do major fillings and some removals of teeth. And I'm going to do local anesthetics. And it's going to be, I'm going to do your mouth, all this side of your mouth will be paralyzed. And it would be better if you went to some family here in Yakima instead of driving back to Wapato, because it wouldn't be safe. So I asked this lady called Mary Christensen if I could stay at their house. And I went, and then I started to get to know her and her family. And I started to question her on salvation, and I began to see that more and more she saw that we are spiritually dead, needing God's grace. And it was her testimony was quite similar, that the Lord had saved her. And I saw that by God's grace, this is an amazing thing. And I started to pray about it, and more I prayed for weeks and weeks. And I asked the Lord to show me if this indeed is the lady that you've chosen for me as a wife. And the Lord showed me clearly in the Spirit, and He showed me clearly by the signs I had asked Him graciously, because I said I shouldn't be asking for signs like Gideon, but or I shouldn't be asking for signs, but I need them because I don't have any church, I don't have any place. And the Lord said, this is the woman. And when I proposed to her, she didn't say get lost. She said, I have been praying for 8 years for a husband. And I see, and I had said, he has to be different, he has to be from away, so that I know there's your choice. Like, not an American, somebody from away. And the first day you came to church, before you ever talked to me, about 2 months before you ever talked to me, I asked the pastor, who's this stranger that's come now with these St. Hilaire's? And I said, it's Richard Bennett, or Peter Bennett, whatever they call me, from Trinidad. But he originally from Ireland. I knew that was you, the man that the Lord had sent. And then her parents warmly received me. And it was good time later, on the 4th of July, we got married, and we had celebrations coast to coast and fireworks.
And you never forget your never anniversary.
And so it was, and it was, that was all by God's grace. And it was
when the Lord put you together for
He put us together to reach out. And it was in 1991 that we started the ministry. Before that, I had jobs. I worked in Richard's studio taking photographs of babies, and better than baptizing them. And a step up for 2 years into that, and then I worked for Neil Pope Dodge selling cars. Particularly did I major in selling used cars besides besides new cars. And I was salesman of the week after 3 weeks. But I was doing that sort of thing, and then I talked to to Lynn. Mm-hmm. Lynn was our, Carolyn was our second name.
Yeah.
So she took Lynn, and I said, the Lord didn't save me just to be selling cars and taking photographs of babies. And she and I felt independently of it, that we had a call to be missionaries. And we went to China, and of all years it was dramatic year of Tiananmen Square. Now we were not in the north, we were in a southern city, just across the border, but when you're inside China, you're inside Shenzhen. It was there we saw the grace of God, and there I saw men saved. And it was, I remember Leo Tu, Tao, and we called him Whitman, Leo Tao, and he had been a member of the party, the Communist Party, but he saw salvation by grace and God's grace alone, and he came to biblical salvation. And himself and myself went out to a pond, sort of a, and he wanted to be baptized to give testimony. And he said, when I come out of the water, all I need is a towel and to dry, and I'm not an emotional man. So I baptized him, and he put his hands in the air, and he started to praise God in Chinese for about 15 minutes. And I praised God. Later on, he actually was able to get out of China and come to the States.
Oh,
and he actually was a policeman in Houston. And later on, when I was speaking in Houston, I looked up the telephone directory, and there it said Leo Tao, and it was his sister, Chinese name. And I phoned, and I found that he was saved and still living. When I said to him, Leo Tao, do you go to church on Sunday? He said, well, I work as a policeman. I work on Sundays as well, one of my major days. And I said, are you really the Lord's? And we're driving in his car, and he said, you see that New Testament there? I had given him one in English, you know. And he said, take it up. And I took it up. It was parts highlighted and underlined. He said, does that look like a New Testament of somebody who knows the Lord?
Yeah.
Or is just saying it? And I said, that warms my heart.
Yeah.
And then he went and he bought a watch for me and a handbag for he said, you're my godparents. Well, we had witnessed to him.
Yeah.
But it was a joy to see him and others.
Yeah.
And I saw that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. This is the message, and it's for you, dear believer. Spiritually, if you don't know the Lord, or is it a church where they're trusting in your decision or your commitment to Christ, it's God's choice, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's you to look to the Lord for salvation, and let Greg know, and he will follow up with you, and his email address will be given at the end of the video. And it's really important that you know God of all grace, and that you come to salvation, because that is our heart's cry. And I praise God that he hears our heart's cry, and that many souls are saved. I thank God that it's our videos particularly that the Lord uses. I remember from Dundee getting a message from a former monk, and he said, you know, I'd always trusted in what I did as a Catholic monk, besides priests and nuns, they have monks, and now I see it wasn't all my good works, it's the grace of God. I thank you for your video. And I remember a lady from Latvia, I didn't even know that they had computers or videos or anything else in Latvia, and she equally said, I now see by God's grace. And on throughout the years, more people have been helped as they watch our videos. So please, if you're struggling with anything or have any questions, email Greg Bentley and he will give his email address at the end of the program. And I thank God that he is the one who is now taking over the ministry as I'm stepping down as the president and founder of the ministry. And of course my wife too, stepping down and handing over to him. That may the Lord bless his work. And that is a summary of my testimony, but I thank God that things have really changed and I see fruit, and my intent and purpose now is to please God. Mm-hmm. As we make this video in 2016, the Pope Francis in his white dress,
yes.
all with his papal mm-hmm. skull cap, is going to celebrate the Reformation and try to bring people back into unison with Catholic Church.
Yes, and making an announcement that the Reformation is finished.
The Reformation, and of course everybody should come back to the Church of Rome.
Yes.
And that's the whole purpose of the Reformation, was to get past the Church of Rome.
Yes.
And
come,
and the tremendous fruit of the Reformation over the many, many years,
right.
were thousands and thousands, and Europe has completely changed, even the economy changed, because there's a biblical base to the economy of the nations in Europe. And now this Pope is trying to bring it all back.
Yeah.
And he can't withstand the intentions of God. God's choice was in eternity past.
Right.
And a Pope in his dress, his pontifical dress, as if he were a lady going around in this long dress, it doesn't stand one whit against God. God, who he is, and his purposes, and his choice, and not any intentions of any man.
And we'll be addressing those coming events of next year. So
it's good.
Yeah.
And again, I thank the Lord, Greg, that you're taking over the ministry, and praise God. And this is an update, as it were, of my testimony.
Thank you for that update, and Richard, and one of the things that you did mention this evening, which I think is of utmost concern for any Catholic person that's watching this video, is that if you died today, where would you go? And you need to find the answer to that question. And that's what spurred you on, Richard.
It was. How can I have peace with God?
Yeah.
And I'd like to commend people. We have on our webpage, not just in English, but in other languages,
mm-hmm.
Are You Right with God? And
very good track.
This tract has been used mightily of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And by God's grace, this tract has been instrumental in saving more souls than anything else that we know.
Yeah.
Are You Right with God? It's very easy to get this. You could just have to go to litmin.org.
Okay.
As it's the people who print the trim, litmin.org. And just email Doug at litmin.org.
That'll be on your screen too.
It'll be on the screen. And this little booklet of my testimony from tradition to truth, the priest story, this basically is true. It's the first edition of it, but I give an update today, but it was true word for word,
mm-hmm.
as it is written. And I thank God. And it's easy to get copies of this. To obtain copies, all you've got to do is phone 850-438-6666.
And that's the chapel library?
Yeah, yes, 850-438-6666. Or email chapel@mountzion.org.
Yep.
And get copies of this. And you can get hundreds of these testimonies. They don't charge. They just charge what it costs for them to print. And they will willingly supply testimonies of my testimony. And I thank God that he has used the testimony and this little tract, Are You Right with God?
Mm-hmm.
And they are on our webpage, even in other languages, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So besides like we're in Slovakian and Croatian and many other languages, and Slovakian.
All on your website, too.
Yes, yeah, and Hungarian.
Yeah.
Hungary is a huge country. I visited there in the year 2000, and it was with a dear brother, Dick Knowles, that I traveled, mm-hmm. and he was a man of grace, if there ever was one, praise God.
Yeah.
And Mike Stevens, who was a main director all over the years, a man of God's grace that we worked together with for many years. So I thank God for men like that, mm-hmm. Mike Stevens,
yeah.
and you know, for you, Greg, and for, I thank God, and for Doug Salzer. Mm-hmm. And we have worked together and seen the fruit of God's work. And to God be the glory, the praise, the worship, and the honor.
If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater Ministries. I'm pleased to introduce to my audience a dear brother in the Lord, Richard Bennett, Director of Berean Beacon Ministries, an outreach to Roman Catholics.
It is great to be here, Larry.
For people that don't know you, you were a Roman Catholic priest for 22 years, is that right? Please give us a short account of your life.
Yes, I was a Catholic priest for 22 years. I was a Catholic altogether for 48 years, having grown up in Dublin, Ireland. I was trained very early on in my education, in what we call secondary and elementary education, by the Jesuits. And then I decided to become a Catholic priest, and I spent 8 years in preparation. It was a novitiate year, and then 6 years to ordination when I was ordained a priest in Dublin, Ireland in 1963, and then 1 year in Rome, 8 years in all. Then I spent 21 years in Trinidad, West Indies, as a parish priest, carrying out the work of a priest. I had the best academic training you could get, finishing up in the city of Rome itself, near the Vatican, and I really had a desire to bring Catholics to what we thought was a way of being right with God, so that they could get to purgatory, and then that they finally could get to heaven. And I was great for doing penances and sacrifices, and then I was very devout in Trinidad, baptizing babies, hearing people's confessions, and doing all the sacraments. It was in 1972, I had a very serious accident where I was 3 days unconscious after the serious accident. And then after that time, when I got out of the hospital and the sanatorium, I began searching in the Bible for what is truth. It took me 14 years of comparing the Bible to Catholicism before I realized that I was dead in trespasses and sins, and it was by grace alone that we are saved. One night I got on the floor in my house and I cried out to God for faith and his grace to save a wretch like me, dead in trespass and sins, and he gloriously did that. It was about 2 months afterwards I very reluctantly left the Catholic Church, because my prayer after I was right with God by biblical salvation was that I could really love Catholics and give them the real true gospel of grace. That is grace alone, faith alone, and in Christ alone. But then in prayer over those 2 months after I was saved, the Lord showed me that I could best serve him and love Catholics if I left actually the priesthood and the Catholic Church and reached out to Catholics nonetheless. And I did that. I left the priesthood in 1985 and reached the States in 1986. And I I just prayed and prayed that I would have a love for Catholics to reach out. I thank the Lord that after 1 year as a missionary in China, I was able to start the ministry that I now have called BereanBeacon.org. It is to show Catholics the real truth of where salvation is in a person, not in any church. And it is by God's grace, not by any ritual that any church does. So this has been really wonderful. I've seen priests save. I saw two priests in Poland, you know, through our ministry. We have a Polish webpage, besides many other languages, and of course in English. And I thank God that I have seen God's grace poured out, and that is my heart's desire, Larry, that Catholics would know the truth, and that evangelicals in this very false ecumenical age would see the differences. I have a very interesting article on the webpage, Are Catholics Christians? And we've had tremendous response to that, evangelicals whose eyes have been opened in reading that article. So it's with love for Catholics and to show the truth of Christ Jesus that God will be glorified and many, many souls saved, particularly Catholics, to the glory of his name.
Outstanding. That was a wonderful testimony, Richard. Could you just real briefly tell us about, you've written some books, and you've already mentioned your ministry, but what are these books you've written, and how can people find them?
Yes, I have written or edited, written some and edited others, and they have been amazing. I just thank God. Our most well-known book is Far From Rome, Near to God, The Testimonies of 50 Converted Catholic Priests. Since 1994, that book has sold steadily across the world in English and in other languages, and it's on the third edition now. And the other book that has my heart really displayed and my love for Catholics is the book I've written about Catholicism called Catholicism, East of Eden, Insights into Catholicism for the 21st Century. This book is published by Banner of True Trust, like the book of the 50 Testimonies of Former Priests. And I thank God for that, because the Lord has used that book and it brought many Catholics to himself by that book. The other book that my heart was in editing together with Mary Hertel is a book called The Truth Set Us Free, 20 Former Nuns Tell Their Stories. And that book has been used mightily of the Lord as well. And I thank God for those women, most of whom are still alive and active in reaching out to Catholics themselves. And it is just a wonderful testimony of God's grace. And the other book I've written is called On the Wings of Grace Alone. I've edited that. And that is just 30 ordinary Catholics and what we call lay Catholics, and how the Lord brought them to salvation. That is an amazing book too. How can you obtain these books? Well, go to our webpage, BereanBeacon.org, and just go to the folder on the left-hand side, Books, and when you click on that, it gives all the details of how you can get those books.
Outstanding. Well, Richard, we're going to go into showing people your videos now here across particularly our audience on YouTube, but many people don't know that you and me go to the same church here in Austin, Texas, so it gives me a special opportunity to be around you a lot just so we can do ministry work. But anyway, I want to thank you for allowing us to post your videos on the internet through YouTube and other internet servers.
Praise God, and may souls be saved and the Lord glorified. Amen and amen.
Amen.